BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening to The Rock the Star.
Stratus action is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rock.
Since I have been on this earth, I have done a lot of horrible things to a lot of good people. And I'm man enough to admit when I am in the wrong. And I was wrong about you, Brian. I viewed you as this minuscule little creature chasing this uphill war that you could never win. I saw you busy chasing your little girly friend around on television, buying a diamond. How long are you willing to live this life? How long until they discover that your dirty little feet are soiling their red carpet?
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
Being a scientist really started to pay off. A lot of people don't know about that, but being a scientist and being a pro wrestler at the same time, hypothesis, conclusion, same thing. He's a myth, and I'm getting to the bottom of it. I'm like Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes was half detective, half scientist. He's science to figure out cases. Maybe when I get done with pro wrestling, I can be like the new Sherlock Holmes, but in real life, where I solve cases using my science.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, for, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward. And joining me, as always, is my ever kooky, ever crazy, ever Twitter happy producer, Sir Rockin.
Yes, that is me. And I'm not so Twitter happy since I've been banned because I went crazy on Super Bowl Sunday, which means it's going to be a really, really, really long, epic tweet of the week later in the show.
Yeah, I plan on, like, you know, taking out the trash in the time that he's, you know, doing tweet of the week. So,
not even going to pay attention to me when I do tweet of the week. God.
I never pay attention to you.
So loved. Feel it right in the heart. Oh.
Well, you know, we are in the month of Valentine's Day, so want to make sure you feel loved.
Oh, next week, the Valentine's show, right here on the rack. Anyway.
Oh, crap, are we on the air during Valentine's
Day?
No,
it's the day before.
That's right. No, it's the day after, it's on Friday.
Yeah, we're the day before, that's what I mean. We're on day before. We'll still play the, I don't know, cheesy music? I don't know. Give us ideas.
I had pathetic plans for that day, so don't confuse me. Don't derail my plans.
You mean watching SmackDown?
Yes, but I plan on watching SmackDown with a bottle of champagne.
Sweet, that's going to be a fun conversation.
And chocolate.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to have a fun conversation that night.
Yes.
Anyway.
Sugar and booze. This should be fun, y'all.
Anyway.
We may go on the air just for shits and giggles.
Hey, that's news to the producer. Who cares? It's fun. It's exciting. It's the rack. Baby.
Anyway. If you came back after last week's marathon show, thank you so much. We're so sorry we went long last week. We have a lot to get into this week, too. Thankfully, not as much. We have news. We have impact. We have discussions. We have the epic tweet of the week. But before we get to all that, what's our question of the night?
It's simple. What female would you like to see be inducted next into the WWE Hall of Fame? As there's not many females in the Hall of Fame as of yet. And with Trish going in last year, the award-winning Trish interview you can hear on RockRadioShow.com right now, well, after this show, if you haven't heard it from a year ago, at rockradioshow.com. We want to know who you think will go into the Hall of Fame next for the females.
You are such a shameless show.
I know.
Anyway, we're just going to move right into the news, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at pwmania.com. And, well, we're going to kind of go... We're going to give you a little bit of an update on Punk, because that's still a huge story. And, well, as we noted last week, Punk got dropped from the majority of his dates. We can now confirm Punk has been dropped from pretty much the rest of his dates on WWE, including a couple of autograph signings.
Yes. Yeah, he's been dumped from WrestleMania Access, which is being replaced by apparently Ric Flair. We mentioned last week that we were going to possibly see that happening. So yeah, that's kind of an interesting thing right there. CM Punk going off of Access, off of Elimination Chamber. Still want to call it Extreme Elimination Chamber because of the conversation last night, because someone kept saying Extreme Rules and it got stuck in my head. Not
sorry.
Looking at someone, but
although we will be talking about Extreme Rules here in the news
here in a minute, yeah. But yeah, Punk is off the events, and yeah, it's just another sign that Punk is done.
Yeah, and it should be noted that WWE doesn't want him to be done. Vince McMahon, it's coming out, is very, very, very eager to get Punk back. They're trying to get Punk back as we speak, but right now, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. He's standing really, really firm. If you believe that this is not a work, if you believe this is a work, then, you know, Punk will be back after Mania or whenever you think Punk will be back.
Punk will be back on March 3rd live in Chicago.
He very well could be. If this is a work, they have him come back in Chicago and they have him rally against Triple H. But I don't think Punk is coming back.
I don't think Punk is coming back. Another Punk update is that, well, he will not be appearing on the Comedy Central show Midnight, I believe it's called.
After Midnight.
After Midnight it's called? Something like that. It's called At Midnight. There you go.
We'll get it.
I only saw that show once. It's called At Midnight. That's why the Twitter's called At Midnight. But yeah, everyone's popular using those hashtags, which are very creative. I will give that show credit. They come up with some creative hashtags. Punk and The Miz were scheduled to be a part of that program on the 12th, but neither man will be appearing now. Chris Hardwick, I believe, is the host of the show. Tweeted out, it doesn't look like CM Punk will be a part of the program. Something to that effect a couple of days ago.
And they've also, have they pulled his Wizard World appearance too?
That I do not know. I am not 100% certain on that. But if they haven't, it will probably come in the days to come. But yeah, so far, all WWE bookings of CM Punk and all mentions of CM Punk are kind of a no-no at this point. He's still listed on... Here's another hint that CM Punk is going. This is kind of an interesting one because I've been checking this one, and this one sort of just changed over the last couple days. You know how on WWE.com they have you highlight over to superstars and you can see featured superstars, right?
Mm-hmm.
CM Punk's name is usually listed in the top four, right?
Right.
No longer is CM Punk listed on the main superstar section when you scroll over the thing. It's now Batista, Undertaker, John Cena, and AJ Lee. Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, Sheamus, and Ultimate Warrior in that section. So it's just another, we're moving CM Punk off of the main stage, as it were. We're putting him in the back burner for now. He's still a member of the roster, still in the superstar section. I was curious that he just got moved. But yeah, he is no longer listed for a lot of things.
Yeah, so definitely something to keep an eye on. We'll keep everybody up to date as the story progresses, but right now it's looking more and more and more like Punk is, at least at this time, done. So, something to take note of for sure. But there's something else that has the talent and some fans and possibly management a little bit concerned, too.
Oh.
Seems Punk isn't the only wrestler interested in leaving.
Who else is sort of interested in leaving the confines of World Wrestling Entertainment. That made no sense, but continue.
Yeah. Way to be overdramatic.
I know. I'm sorry. Continue.
It seems that there's a rumor, and again, this is rumor. It was broken, I believe, by PW Insider, so it is a credible source, but still, take it for what you will.
Yes, Mike Johnson over at PW Insider.
That Alberto Del Rio has made it clear that come the end of his contract, he's done. Mm-hmm. He's leaving. That, like CM Punk, Del Rio is not happy with his current position in the company. He's not happy with the fact that he's currently being fed to Batista. He was at one point a main eventer in the company, and now he's just jobbing out to talent, that incoming talent, and he's not pleased. So Del Rio has made it clear that once he's done, he's walking out too.
I'm not overly surprised by this one. Again, that's just thinking now, and then 6 months from now, a year from now, whenever his contract's up, who even knows? It could be like 3 years from now his contract's up. We don't really know. But he came into the business very late.
He did.
So it's one of those things. He came in, he's had a nice run. He may not like his position right now, but he had a pretty good run for, what, 3-4 years?
He did. He really did. He had a very strong run. He never, I think, ever won the WWE Championship, but he did. I know he held the World Heavyweight Championship a bunch of times, but he never held the WWE title. He won a Royal Rumble. He's been at WrestleMania. You know, he had the last match with Edge, even though nobody really knew it was the last match with Edge. He did have the last match with Edge at WrestleMania 27.
That somebody here was able to see live and in person.
Yeah, somebody needs to teach Canadians how to mess up a car, because Ed and Christian just don't know how to do that.
They're busy having 5-second poses and with balloons and streamers. They're not all about breaking cars.
This is true. But yeah, so, I mean, I'm not surprised that Del Rio is unhappy and he wants to leave. I mean, it's something that we've talked about this in private, and we've said it on the Raw Post show and on this show, I believe, and on WTR as well, that, you know, Del Rio just doesn't seem to have a purpose right now.
Yeah, well, Del Rio is good when he has a role and a feud, a strong feud. When he's just, you know, hanging around, trying to be him, it just sort of doesn't work for him. He needs a purpose. He needs something to drive him. And right now he doesn't have, he's sort of having that drive with Batista, which is cool. I'm actually interested to see how they battle.
Yeah, it's like they did a nice job exchanging shots on Twitter, and then, you know, Batista showed up and he beat up Alberto Del Rio, and then they kind of hooked up in the Rumble a little bit. And then now you're having it where they're going to have a full-blown feud potentially at Chamber, because Batista needs something to do. And, you know, Batista's going to be there potentially for 2 years, so it's something of Del Rio always has the chance to get his win back, and he could always face Batista for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. So it's just something of, you know, timing is everything, I suppose. But, you know, as far as Del Rio, it's like I've always considered that he was at his best when he was doing the rich gimmick.
Oh, I would totally agree with you on that one. Hey, with him and Ricardo, that's when, as heels, were at their best. And this was corrected to us by philandering. WWE Champion Alberto Del Rio was a thing, if we remember correctly, because after she said, it was like, he held the belt because he had the spinner belt. Then it clicked. Punk beat Del Rio.
That's right. Punk did beat.
To start
That's
the run.
Right.
To start
Del
the
Rio
run.
Del Rio cashed in on Punk at SummerSlam.
Right.
See, because it was there clicked. For that. How could I forget that? I was there.
You were there.
I saw that in person. How could I forget that? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get that wrong. I'm so sorry. But, okay, well, then he has held the WWE title. I'm sorry. I was there for that. How could I forget that? I feel so stupid now. But, you know, and this is no offense to Alberto Del Rio, but I guess that goes to show how memorable his spider reign was.
Yeah, he came in and he had sort of the back and forth with Punk, and yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, that's right, and then Nash screwed Punk out of the title.
Yeah. Thanks for catching the thing.
Thank you for catching that. I'm so sorry to get that wrong, but yeah. So, you know, that just shows further that he was at one point a main eventer, and he's had a fall from grace, as have several other superstars from really the, not necessarily the Raw main event, but the SmackDown main event.
Yeah.
And it's just it's something of, you know, they can always build Del Rio back up, but again, it's, Del Rio really was at his best when he was with Ricardo and he came out with the car. And I think that kind of killed his allure a little bit to, when he stopped at least coming out with the car and he stopped coming out with Ricardo. Because I'm sorry, I love Alberto and everything, but the best thing about Alberto Del Rio was the fact that it's like the dude is rich enough to have his own personal ring announcer.
Yeah, he had a car, he had expensive cars, he had a ring announcer, he had swag to him.
Yeah, he had swag, and now he doesn't have that. Now he's just him, which there is nothing wrong with him being him, but it's something of, if you're playing this part of this cocky, rich Mexican aristocrat, you need to play the, you need to have certain things to play the part. And it's like, yes, he has the suits. Yes, he has the scarves. Yes, he dresses the part most of the time.
Most of the time, which you kind of like the new look for him on Monday.
The jeans were not bad. I'm not going to lie. I was digging the jeans and the t-shirt and the velvet jacket. I love a man that can pull off a velvet jacket. Just pointing that out.
Now, staying with this whole conversation and sort of clicked in my head. What's sort of missing is there's no character for Del Rio right now. That's sort of what's missing, and I think that's the end result of maybe that's his frustration. His character has been watered down to where he's just a guy right now, and if he can reestablish that character, it may be good for, well, everyone. It might be best for business. Take a shot.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, we'll have to see. We'll have to see what they do. If they want to keep Del Rio, they will find a way to keep Del Rio.
Yeah,
but if Del Rio wants to go, you can't stop him from leaving, and nor should he be forced to stay, especially if he's not happy. Nobody should be forced to stay if they're not happy. It's just something of, you know, leave the right way.
And I believe he will leave the right way. Because he can always go back down to Mexico and wrestle a few times a year and make a lot of money. Because he's big down in Mexico.
He is. He's absolutely huge down in Mexico. Let's see. On to the next story. I don't necessarily have a good transition to this, other than speaking of Extreme Rules, the Extreme Rules location has been announced. It is not going to be in Seattle as originally thought. It's going to be in Jersey.
Yeah, the Izod Center will be the host of Extreme Rules at the beginning of May. The date escapes me at this moment. I'm looking up really quickly. But yes, it's going to be in the Izod Center, not Seattle like everyone had originally thought, because everyone thought, and this was on many schedules in WWE as well, that it would be in Seattle, but they changed plans. It will be in East Rutherford, New Jersey at the Izod Center on May 4th.
Well, it might have been something that the building wasn't available or something along those lines, but, you know, they'll still get a good crowd in Jersey, and it's something that, you know, if we all suspect what's going to happen actually happens, which is they put the title on Daniel Bryan at Extreme Rules, which could happen, they'll still get a good reaction in Jersey. Won't be as good as in Seattle, but I have a feeling they're going to wait to do that next time they're in Seattle.
Right, and they know using the Izod Center, it's a nice building, and it's, you know, you can't oversaturate Seattle. They'll be back in Seattle, and they'll probably get a Raw, and it'll be very, very exciting.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, Extreme Rules, May 4th, tickets go on sale soon, I believe.
Yes, so, yay! But you know what else is exciting?
What's that?
WWE's been amping up their charitable works.
Oh, yes, they have. WWE has been teaming with the children's nonprofit Kaboom to build a playground at Woodland West Elementary School in Harvey, Louisiana during WrestleMania week.
That'll be fun.
That's pretty cool. They have also given grants through their Be a Star initiative, including a $25,000 grant to the East LA Boys and Girls Club, which is kind of awesome.
That is kind of awesome. That's amazing that they did that.
It is kind of amazing that they did that, and it shows, you know, what they bring to certain areas when they, you know, especially building a playground in the Louisiana area around WrestleMania, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I'm sure the people of Louisiana and everybody who's benefiting from their charitable causes is very, very grateful and thankful, and again, I like the fact that they're starting to tout, or they've been touting their charitable stuff, because it's really goes to show what an impact they have on the local communities throughout the United States, not just in New York and Connecticut where they're based, but all over the country.
Correct.
That they try to impact as many people as they possibly can, which is really cool.
It is pretty, pretty cool. We should also mention that Darren Young was nominated for a GLAAD Media Award for his appearance on the Ellen DeGeneres Show.
Go, Darren.
It's your birthday. Go, Darren.
It's your birthday. I'm doing the fist pump for you. Can't see me, but I'm doing the fist pump.
So, more positive stuff for the WWE. Apparently their stock is going up as well, which makes them billionaires again.
Yeah, well, their stock is continually going up, and it's going to go up even further on, you know, February 25th. 24th.
Yeah,
25th.
And 25th. Yeah. It's going to go up, and up, and up, and up, and up, and up. Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, you know, some things that aren't necessarily so good is, well, as we noted Monday night on the Raw Post Show, there were some, well, injuries on the show, to say the least. Roman had a cut above his eye. It was pretty bad. Naomi also suffered an injured eye. And, well, Cody Rhodes tried to kill himself by jumping off the top of the damn cage.
Yeah, yeah.
We're happy to report Cody's okay. No injuries. Looks like he just got his bell rung a little bit. He should be okay. Roman, I believe, had to have 6 stitches above his eye.
Yeah, and Naomi busted her eye. And she originally said it was like she really bruised...
Orbital bone,
but she pulled down that tweet, apparently. But, yeah, they all made it out A-okay, considering what happened, because we watched the on Raw, Oksana just kneed Naomi right in the face. It was like, ooh, that didn't seem so good. Now, did it?
No, that didn't look like it felt good, and I'm sure Naomi was not happy with Oksana after that match. I mean, her eye was black and blue. She had a nice shiner, and it was swollen shut.
It was.
And she's lucky she didn't lose an eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
So, hoping that she's feeling better, hoping that Roman is okay, and of course that Cody's feeling better as well.
Speaking of eye injuries, John Cena is A-okay as well.
Oh, good.
He'll be back in action this weekend on the house shows, and will be live on Monday Night Raw when he faces the Viper, Randy Orton.
Nice. So we can expect the return of John Cena Monday night to Raw, but you know who else is making a return?
Who's that?
Eric Bischoff. He's back, y'all.
It's the hot... No. Eric Bischoff is not returning to pro wrestling, but he is going to be hosting a syndicated radio show at some point this year. He is working with his production company and another person to get it up and running. No idea what the content will be, but Eric Bischoff is planning on hosting a radio show. So that's kind of interesting. Maybe it'll be about wrestling. Maybe it'll be about entertainment. You never know, but just kind of cool to see Eric Bischoff involved in something again, since he's sort of moved on from TNA wrestling.
Yes, yes, he has, and it's always exciting to see Eric come back and do things, so may have to check it out. I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, certainly last but not least, as far as exploring new venues and new territories, we have a little news on the Scrap Daddy. See, if you haven't been following him on Twitter and Facebook, well, what the heck is wrong with you? Because he's amazing. If you don't know who the Scrap Daddy is, just go to the corner. We're talking about the one, the only, Adam Pearce.
Yes, Adam Pearce is a semi-finalist to become the new public address announcer for the Major League Baseball team, the San Diego Padres. You guys can get involved. Go to your Twitters and use the hashtag PadresPA and, you know, vote for Adam Pearce, because you guys will be able to decide. That's kind of cool. His number was 362, I believe.
Yes.
In the whole thing, but yeah, you have until Saturday, February 8th to decide on the top 3 and use the hashtag PadresPA to vote for the Scrap Daddy, Scrap Iron Adam Pearce.
Yes, so go check that out. Please go vote for him. Let's get him the gig.
Let's get him the gig. Now, we got a couple other things to get into before we take our first break, Lindsay.
Oh, yeah? What do we have to get into?
First, we got to send some congratulations to a couple.
We do. We absolutely do.
Edge and Beth Phoenix have given birth. Yes, both Edge and Beth Phoenix have given birth to the same person. A baby girl 6 weeks ago, he announced on a show yesterday. Which is awesome. Beth congratulated Edge on being a daddy on Twitter earlier today. That got many people going, what?
Yeah, and then the interview broke, and it's, you know, where Edge admits that he and Beth had a baby together, and it's the most romantic thing he's ever done, and, you know, good for him. Good on him for it, you know? Congratulations to them. It's definitely a long time coming, I think, for both of them, and I'm sure they're absolutely thrilled.
Yeah, I was
not sleep deprived, but thrilled.
But thrilled, yeah. And I was not, I couldn't favorite any more tweets because someone banned me, but Edge had a couple funny tweets.
I got them, don't worry.
You got them for later? Okay, sweet. So we'll get into that later in the program. And one other story, Lindsay, one other story, right?
Yes.
As WWE does a weekly segment on YouTube called the WWE Inbox.
Oh no, we're not going to bring this up.
Yes, we are. Well, someone on this panel, Lindsay, asked a question to Paul Heyman. You can see the question on your screen right now. And here was the answer to the question.
You're a snappy dresser. Where do you get your suits? Your mom's my personal shopper, and she takes me out twice a month. What kind of question is that? Next!
What I love is you can hear him thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
Because he's like, I don't know whether to take that as a compliment or an insult.
I watched it the first time, and I didn't catch it. So Lindsay, I sent the video to Lindsay, and she's like, oh my god. And yeah, there's like, she was on she made it on the video. I was like, wow, it's awesome.
Yeah, I had completely forgotten I had sent that, and I wasn't even thinking about it, then you sent it, and I was like, then I remembered, and I'm sitting there going, oh, I wonder if my tweet made it, and I'm just watching it, and then, you know, there's my name, and, you know, by the way, @LinsWard, LNSWRD, follow me on Twitter today.
And she calls me shameless.
Hey, I worked in there pretty good. And, you know, there it is, and there's my question. I just love how he's, like, thinking about it, like, the look on his face, he's like, huh.
Huh? What? Yeah, if you haven't watched WWE Inbox, and if you don't normally do, I don't normally do, but I got curious for this week for some reason because it was Paul Heyman. So I listened to it, and it was like, it was awesome. It was epic. Go out your way tomorrow. Watch WWE Inbox with Paul Heyman because he is all kinds of Heyman.
Oh, yeah. He throws insults left, right, and center. It's hilarious.
He even drops an oy vey.
He does. He absolutely does. It's genius.
Yeah, so yeah, that's the that sort of thing happened. I was like, gotta bring that one up.
See, I was just gonna let it go, but no.
No, I'm not gonna let it go, because it's kind of awesome. Again, you're on the app, you're on this, you're just all over the place.
So, anyway, yeah, I'm on the app. I'm on WWE Inbox. You know.
You're everywhere.
My voice has been heard several times in WWE headquarters.
She's kind of a big deal.
Not really.
I don't know if she has leather-bound books, but she is kind of a big deal.
I do not have leather-bound books, and sadly, my apartment does not smell of mahogany.
Darn it.
Yeah, so, sadly, I am not Ron Burgundy, but, yeah, pretty cool. Definitely a little something that perked me up today, so, pretty awesome. Thank you, Mr. Heyman, for insulting me. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you to the WWE staffer that had the sense of humor to put it on there.
I really do want to... Now we gotta ask your mom what kind of, you know, suits she buys him.
Dude, if my mom took Paul Heyman shopping, he would look a lot better than what he does now. Just pointing that out.
We gotta get the inside scoop. Just pointing that one out.
You know, just saying, because my mom has good taste in men's clothes. Just, you know, saying. Anyway, let's go to the first break of the evening.
As we continue with You Pick the Music Thursday.
Ooh, so when we come back, we will be talking about tonight's exciting impact from Glasgow, Scotland. What happened? MVP spoke. What did he say? You'll just have to tune in and listen. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Everybody sees a myth, but it's not that easy. Standing in the light field, standing in the light field, waiting for some action, waiting for some action. Oh, but why won't you come over here? Why won't you come over here? We got a city to love. Why won't you come over here? We got a city to love.
Interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were Fandangling, yes, Let's Go Cena, Cena Sucks, and What's Up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena Sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? You're great.
Great. I love these picks. Sub, you picked Yes, Yes, Yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan, of course.
Yeah!
why didn't I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Sure. Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santana's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to chain the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he took the snake charmer. No. No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year, Sub.
I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations. You picked the winning one today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get a little swap them? Can I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. You want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
All right, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR pick. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Down.
I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
thinking something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls. I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time. on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimping.
Hey, what's up? This is Kaz. I'm great. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
By our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, memolanepromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. And now, we're going to jump right into tonight's exciting TNA Impact, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. And, well, this was a wild opening to Impact.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this was, they didn't even wait for the pyro and all the, everything. They just went for it.
Right? It was just like, oh, okay, we're just jumping right into it. So Impact opened, as I scroll back up, we see MVP and the Wolves arriving in Glasgow. They're making their way to the ring. They're, you know, looking fine in their suits. We cut elsewhere backstage where we see, well, one EY and Abyss already fighting. They don't want to wait till later in the show to have their Monsters Ball match. Damn it, they're having it now. And that's exactly what the show opened with. Your first contest of the evening is Eric Young taking on Abyss in a Monsters Ball. Holy crap, this was a good match.
Oh, it was. It just, to me, I was like, I'd rather not see these two fight. I liked them as a team. I didn't want to see them fight. But I understand the fight, and they had a hell of a fight, and it was a battle beyond battles. We had, what, thumbtacks? We had chairs, pipes, you name it. It was all involved.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. And what made this match really amazing was the end. I mean, aside from the level of violence, you know, like Rock said, we had tables, we had chairs, we had, you know, Janice.
Yeah, I should say there was a sweet powerbomb from the Sunset Powerbomb where EY put Abyss into the thumbtacks where you could see them sticking into his arms. It was kind of nasty and awesome at the same time. But yeah, Janice got involved. And, well, when Janice got involved, EY reached out and pulled off the mask on Abyss.
He did. And, well, that's where things got interesting, because after Abyss picks up the victory over EY, well, Abyss gets a good look at himself in the mirror, or is it Joseph Park?
It's Abyss, it's Joseph Park, it's Abyss, it's a Joseph Park. What? Wait, what? They're one and the same? No. Yeah? No.
Yeah.
Wow. But no, in all overdramatic seriousness, that was a cool moment. You see the man look in a piece of, I guess, broken glass or whatever it was.
broken mirror. They used a mirror in the match, and a piece of the mirror ended up in the ring, and he pulled it out.
Right, and he's taking there looking at himself, and he realizes for the first time that Eric Young was right. He is Abyss. Joseph Park is Abyss. So the mad scientist was right, and he solved it. So now what does that mean for Joseph Abyss Park?
I don't know, but he looked confused, he looked horrified, and, well, he just kind of left.
Yeah, he just kind of left. He was like, huh? What? I'm gone. See ya.
Yeah. So next week should be very interesting as far as how Joseph Park / Abyss reacts. Are we going to find out how he became Abyss?
We should mention that via the Black Hole Slam, Abyss won the match.
Yes, Abyss won the match with a Black Hole Slam, but the finish of the match was not as good as really the kind of the story that was told after the match, especially, you know, given Park's reaction to the truth that EY was right.
Right.
So, where do they go from here? We'll have to see. Well, at least as far as we'll have to see for Abyss. Where they went from here was backstage yet again. Bobby Roode approaches Dixie Carter, and, he, you know, it's been a week. He wants to know what she thinks about the title match. He's got the paperwork in hand. He's ready for her to sign it. You know, Dixie basically gets a little ticked. You know, wondering, what do the talent make the matches, you know, around here now? And Bobby says, you know, well, when you boss that, you have a boss that isn't doing your job. Yeah, they do.
They write up their own contracts, apparently.
They write up their own contracts, apparently. So, you know, Dixie basically tells Bobby things have changed. She doesn't have the power that she used to, and Bobby doesn't care. That's not his problem. And Dixie knows that. But she says that Joe is the number one contender, and there's just nothing she can do about that, especially seeing as she can't convince the board that Bobby is a suitable replacement. You know, it's not like he won his last match.
Nice little dig, nice little shot there.
Right? You know, but she proposes that, well, if, you know, Bobby were to face Joe tonight, that, well, you know, and beat Joe, that he might become the new number one contender for Magnus's title at Lockdown. Bobby, you know, Bobby gets upset. He doesn't want to basically fight Joe, especially with given Joe's mood, where he's pretty much ready to kill anybody at a moment's notice.
Joe is eating wrestlers alive.
Right? So, you know, Bobby basically tells Dixie, you know, this is a setup, and if it turns out to be a setup, that, you know, it's going to come back and it's going to bite her in her ass.
Kinky?
Not so much.
I like this segment. The word favors was thrown around a lot, and that comes into play later on the show. But yeah, really good, really good backstage bit between the two.
Yes, absolutely. So moving on from here, we see MVP. He's ballin'. He's back out. He comes out and he says, you know, he's back on Impact. You know, everybody, you know, he's curious if everybody was wondering where he's been, you know, what he's been up to, because, you know, he's been out of the public eye for about 3 years. So, you know, I'm sure he's pretty sure that people are curious, well, what have you been up to, MVP? And he says that, you know, he's just been enjoying life on his terms. And, you know, he's learned a lot of important lessons in his life, including that there are always consequences to your actions.
There is, and we could hear more from MVP right about now.
Call them all shots. And at a younger age, we know that got me into a little bit of trouble. But I came away with a valuable life lesson. There are always consequences for your actions. And it seems that there are people here in Impact that think they can act with impunity, that they can do whatever they want, and there will be no consequences. Well, they're wrong. That's going to change. I think we all want to see a change. I think everybody here is tired of seeing self-absorbed, egotistical, megalomaniacal owners doing whatever they want without regard for the talent or the fans. Understand, I love professional wrestling. I am a professional wrestler. And because because I love professional wrestling so much, I could not stand by and watch. Just watch this business that I love so much just get run down. So I decided to make a change, and I learned a long time ago that I couldn't make change as just a talent. So fortunately in my career, I've been lucky that I've made a very comfortable income, and I took that money and I invested it, and I've made a little bit more money, and I found some people who share my views, some like-minded people who said, you know what, MVP, we'll put our money with you and behind you so that you can make the change you're talking about. It's time for people learn that you cannot do whatever you want. You can't disregard the fans. You can't disrespect the talent. The time is now for that change. TNA is a company that has all the components to be great, amazing talent, a tremendous international fan base, but mismanagement is what's been keeping TNA from reaching its full potential. Mismanagement, bad decision making, a fish rots from its head. And now we know, well, quite frankly, we know that that's not going to happen anymore. I give you my word right now that that will never happen again. You see, my agenda here in TNA is a very simple one.
MVP cut off and interrupted. Making promises here, talking about mismanagement, and yet speaking of mismanagement, TNA President Dixie Carter's chief of staff, Rockstar Spud, he's going to interrupt MVP.
Yeah, the poster boy of mismanagement. Here he comes. Rockstar Spud taking this opportunity. The very first time the investor MVP gets a chance to address the audience. And here comes the chief of staff.
Excuse me, sir. I do not mean to interrupt.
Well, 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 if it isn't Dixie's lapdog. Now, that was rude of me. Well, you were very polite, and I intend to be a very, as you like to say, fair owner.
Yeah, well, you see, that's why I'm out here, sir. You see, in the interest of fairness, don't you think it would be fair if you introduced yourself to Madam Dixie Carter herself? You see, Madam Dixie Carter is all about making stars.
Oh, yeah.
And if you came to her throne dressing room, then the Queen is more than happy to talk fairness with you.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
She will welcome you into her dressing room, sir, with outstretched arms.
With outstretched arms?
Sir.
Well, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But understand it, at the end of these outstretched arms,
yes, sir,
a well-educated fist that I have not forgotten how to use. So, watch your step, little man, because I know how you guys roll. And how about this? On your way back to seeing the Madame, please inform her that with the blessing of the board, I have scheduled a match for tonight. I have scheduled the TNA World Champion Magnus in a non-title match against the Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle.
Hell yeah!
Now, how's that for my first day on the job?
Well, first day on the job, I think you gotta give MVP an A+, JB.
So far, so good. And how about Dixie Carter wanting a meeting backstage, but MVP making that match tonight? Kurt Angle versus Magnus.
Interesting first appearance by MVP.
Absolutely, you can definitely tell who the face of the situation is.
Rockstar Spud. Duh. No?
No.
But he's the actual MVP.
Yeah. But this was a nice segment. You start to build the tension between, you know, good and evil. MVP is obviously there for the interest of the fans, the interest of the talent. At least right now he is. And he's opposed to anything Dixie Carter wants to do. Mm-hmm. At least we think he is. So we'll have to see where he stands, which we find out later in the show. But yeah, so this was a nice strong segment.
It was, and Rockstar Spud, again, is awesome.
Oh god, he's hilarious.
Madam Dixie Carter and her. If you go back to her throne, I mean dressing room.
Right? Oh, Spud, you're so adorable. Anyway, elsewhere, we cut to the backstage, and we see Bully with his coffin. He quotes Coolio, or the Bible, take your pick. And he says that, you know, basically Anderson took his family from him, and next week Bully will take Anderson from his family. And if you don't believe Bully, well, then he's going to throw the next person he sees in this coffin.
Yeah, before we move on, it's just very weird seeing Bully Ray stand by a coffin. I'm not going to lie.
It's
one of those things where it's like, huh? What? It just, again, I'm not fully into this whole dark persona that he has going on. So it's like, giving it a chance, it's just something of, huh? Huh? Yeah. But yeah. I don't know.
I need direction for it. Right now there is no direction, so we're going to have to see how this goes. But anyway, we come back from break after this, and Chris Sabin is in a very purple room. He says it's a special room, which, you know, kind of makes me worried. But, you know, basically...
Boom, chicka, wow, wow.
Well, it could be. We don't know.
Making it rain, y'all. Making it rain.
Well, if he's going to make it rain, he's going to make it rain for one special lady, and that's Velvet Sky, because, you know, he's devastated over the fact that she broke up with him, and, you know, he realizes that her breaking up with him was a wake-up call, and that she's worth fighting for. And so he's invited somebody special, presumably her, to, you know, the special room, and he wants the cameras to catch everything.
Right. Well, see what happens there. But before we move on now, Lindsay, I have to play one thing. Kanichiwa.
That's right, y'all. He's back. Mr. Hot and Spicy himself, the Kriban, is back. He's all set for one-on-one action, except, you know, well, he doesn't quite get it, because per his word, Bully said the next person he saw was going in the coffin, and, well, sadly, it was Curryman.
Curryman tried to put up the fight, and he got slaughtered by Bully Ray. Took a spike pile driver in the center of the ring, and then he was sadly put into the coffin by Bully Ray. Boo!
Yeah, so sadly, Mr. Hot and Spicy had to take a nap.
Yes, Mr. Hot and Spicy did have to take a nap.
So anyway, we cut back to, the backstage once again, where, you know, Magnus is complaining to Dixie about his match with Angle. Basically, he doesn't want to fight him. And Dixie tells Magnus to suck it up. And then, you know, Spud is trying to calm Dixie down because the investor's going to be here any minute. So he's trying to compliment her. He's telling her that she looks like the Mona Lisa. She looks like several other things. And she's like, that's not a compliment. Or no, he said, you look like Queen Elizabeth II. You look like the Mona Lisa. She's like, that's not a compliment, Spud. Which is genius. Anyway, there's a knock on the door. Is it the investor? Oh, it's just Ethan. That's literally what they said. Oh, it's just Ethan. You know, Dixie basically tells Ethan she doesn't have time right now, that, you know, the investor's on his way. He's going to be here any minute. And you know what? Out of everything going wrong, her lipstick is just not working for her.
Right.
Because, you know, out of your list of problems, that's high up on the list. Spug, you know, immediately runs off to get the makeup ladies to try and fix it. And, you know, Ethan tells Dixie that he needs to talk to her. It's urgent. And Dixie, says she doesn't have time. You know, it's something of she's too busy. She's got all these problems that she's got to take care of. Ethan takes offense and, you know, asks her, you know, basically says, you don't have time for your own blood. And she says, you know, I'll have time tomorrow. I'll have time the day after, you know, the day after tomorrow. I'll have time next week. And then basically she sets a date with him for next week where they can get together, they can have coffee, they can chat and, you know, catch up and find out what's going on with him.
Since they're in England, can they have crumpets and tea?
Sure.
Sweet.
Actually, technically they're in Scotland.
Well, I think they're in England next week.
They're in England next week, yes.
So they can have crumpets and tea with the Queen. And since Dixie is the Queen, it makes sense.
Actually, it's technically scones, I believe. Although you can have petit fours too. Petit fours. Damn it, now I want to have tea.
Win.
Shut up. Anyway, you know, basically, Ethan doesn't like it, but he gets up saying, you know, it can't wait as, you know, we close the segment. So, what will EC3 do? Well, we'll have to see. But after this, Austin Aries comes out to a big pop. The people are chanting his name.
Austin Aries.
Austin Aries. And he tells us that, yes, he is Austin Aries. He is the X Division champion.
Hold on. Before you go on, I love how Jeremy Borash cut the first part of this promo before Austin Aries cut it in the ring. Word for word. It's tremendous.
Pretty much. You know, basically, Austin is the man, you know, that he said many times that the title doesn't make the man makes the title. He then touts that he created Option C, that he's held every major title in TNA, and that he took full advantage of Option C once, and that he has every intention of doing it again.
And then the crowd starts chanting, Option C, Option C.
Right? I think they chant pretty much anything you told them to.
Pretty much, yeah.
But, you know, before Austin can continue, Zema Ion and the Bromance interrupt. Zema attacks Austin from behind, smacking him with the briefcase, and basically Zema cashes in his X Division title shot. Oh, hate that horn so much. So damn much.
And I'm going to continue to play it every single week. Whenever
until the gimmick is dead.
Exactly.
Which and apparently it's soon.
And apparently that made Kane Kinnon's day because he likes the horn. So one more time for Kane Kinnon.
That's all you get, Kane Kinnon. Just so you point out, just so you know, that's all you get is first the horn. So anyway, you have a very quick match between Austin Aries and Zema Ion. Austin wins with a really nasty brainbuster to retain the X Division Championship. So there's one briefcase burned.
Burned. Well, second, actually. Chavo got fired. But yeah.
Out of the title shots.
Out of the title shots. So yeah, DJ Zema Ion tried so hard to get the title, but could not cash in successfully.
No. Thank goodness.
Because then we would hear more horns every single week.
Then Lindsay would be getting in her car, she would be finding Impact Wrestling, she would be getting backstage, and she would take out the computer. Exactly what would happen.
And then she would come up here, delete it off my computer, so I couldn't play it any longer.
No, I would just hack it off of your computer and block you from ever getting in on the internet again. Anyway.
It's where I make copies. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, I know. So, backstage, we see Dixie and Spud continuing to prepare for the investor. And then when we come back from break, we see a recap of Sam and Christy's date. And then
That creepiness.
And then, well, we see Sam Shaw sneak up on Christy Hemme as she's getting ready. Chrissy sees him in the mirror and turns around and says, they need to talk. She's a little freaked out by the mannequin. You know, mainly the shrine, but especially the mannequin. Like, she just kept saying it over and over and over again.
That, like I told you last week, that was really, really creepy. The mannequin, the doll, it's, yeah, beyond that, you know, creepy.
That's how you do Stalker, right there. They did that to a T. I have to applaud them. Whoever set it up did a really good job of creating a shrine for Christy Hemme.
Uh-huh.
DDP, take notes.
DDP, do take notes. Apparently, people are asking, do I have another horn to play? Yes.
No.
Yes. Oh, stop. Will ya? Hold on. Here's the other horn. People ask for a Cena horn. That's the best Cena horn I can find.
So we need the Price is Right horn?
I have the Price is Right horn, too. You want the Price is Right horn, too? We can give. I can give you all the horns I have here in a second. But continue.
Moving on. So, you know... There it is. So, moving on, you know, basically, Sam tells Christy that, you know, he can't help it. He likes to collect things, especially beautiful things. And basically, Christy is freaked out. She tells him, you're a nice guy, you're a great wrestler, but yeah, let's keep this strictly professional. And, well, Sam Shaw was not happy about that.
No, he did not like it.
Not in the least. He looked a little upset, so, well...
I think the creepy factor is going to be turned up to 30 now.
So, something tells me Chrissy's got a full-blown stalker on her hands, and we'll have to see how that plays out. I'm actually a little curious, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, stalkers are curious, but you don't want them to become... Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I agree, but still, it's like something of... I'm not going to lie, I'm a little curious. So...
It's called You Want Your Own Stalker.
No, I don't.
But then somebody can make a shrine of you and have a real doll of you.
No.
No? No?
No.
No? No? Alright, well. Okay.
Moving on, we see Bobby backstage. And this is a fantastic segment. I honestly wish we had audio of it. Do we?
No. No, we don't have audio of this. No.
Basically, Bobby is complaining about having to face Samoa Joe. And, you know, he said he wasn't going to do any more favors for Dixie, yet here he is doing favors. And, well, you know, then Magnus walks up and corrects Bobby and says, you know, if Dixie Carter asks you to do something, it's not a favor, you just do it. Then there's a little tension between Bobby and Magnus. The two exchange shots and barbs. This was catty as hell. It was hilarious.
Like, Magnus basically said, you know, he'll tap out any day of the week in a tag match when his title's on the line. And that they're not favors, they're tasks. That basically sums that up. Favor, tasks, not favors.
Either way, it was a great segment, great tension. Basically, Bobby said, you know what? I'm fighting Joe tonight to see which one of us gets to take that title off of you at Lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, ooh, ouch.
Ouch.
There were barbs, like I said, there were barbs everywhere. Basically, Bobby said he had saved Magnus's ass a couple times. Magnus tried to correct him, and, well, Bobby wasn't having any of it. And in the end, the two, you know, just kind of had that, you know, tension before they cut. You know, back to Dixie's dressing room, throne room, whatever you want to call it. Where we
speaking of her throne.
Yeah, speaking of her throne, we have Dixie and Spud finally welcoming MVP to the company. The two sit down to have a chat, and basically MVP didn't say a lot in this because it was all about Dixie.
Right.
Yeah. And this is where...
Alright, hold on. Basically, what it was, you know, Dixie said, tell me about yourself. Tell me about yourself. And, well, before he could say a word, well, let me tell you about me and how awesome and I am.
Right? And this is where you get the revisionist history of TNA.
She picked up this company, for, you know, this struggling company, and made it, you know, made it the big time, this global empire that it is. And, you know.
No, 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 no. No, according to her, if you actually go back and listen to it, she did it. All on her own.
Yeah, yeah, she single-handedly.
She took this fledgling concept and turned TNA into what it is now. Just her, all by her lonesome. No guy named Jeff or Jerry Jarrett was anywhere involved in that.
Nope, she sunk their boat and took up this company and built it to this empire, this global phenomenon that it is.
I know it's storyline, but it's like, yeah, yeah, Dixie, that's not how it happened.
Oh, there's another line, but I'll wait for you to get there.
So then, you know, MVP obviously knows she's talking bullshit and says, you know, well, how did you manage to do that? And Dixie says, you know, well, TNA was built with the talent. You know, the best talent, starting with, you know, that curtain jerker guy, whatever his name is, to all the way up to my world heavyweight champion. And then she goes, and see, I could speak your wrestling freak carny language, too.
No, no, that carny lingo came a little bit later, where she said, you get a great rub from working with me.
Right?
The carny lingo. Which they actually used as a hashtag. Oh, Dixie, 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 Dixie. You know, she talked about the Jeff Hardys, the AJ Styles, and things. You know, their disgruntled employees, and who would ruin their company. But it's back to her. Talk about her and what she's done, and you know, she'll give MVP that great rub. But I don't think MVP was having any of that.
MVP was very much not impressed by Dixie or what she had to say.
No.
And pretty much, you know, Dixie asked him, well, where do you want to start? Where do you want to go from here? And she goes, and he goes, well, why don't we start out in the ring in front of your adoring fans?
Mm-hmm.
And Dixie kind of hesitates. You know, because, well, we all know the fans don't like Dixie. And, you know, basically then, you know, Dixie hesitantly agrees, say, okay, well, why not? Let's go out there. Then the two have a bit of an argument about Angle and Magnus, where Dixie doesn't like how MVP kind of hot shot of the match. And, you know, MVP says, well, it was all done in fairness.
Huh. Where have I heard this interest of fairness thing before? Huh. I wonder.
Yeah. That line actually got used, the interest of fairness.
Yeah, earlier in the MVP first segment, yeah. Interest of fairness. Fairness. Huh. Huh, Vinny. I mean, MVP.
Yeah. Wonder where you could have possibly pulled that line from.
It probably was drilled into his head for 5 years.
Probably. Well, I'm sure it was a shot, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But it's been drilled into all the people's heads who work for the company right now.
Right?
In the interest of fairness.
Anyway, we cut to the ring where...
Hold on. You missed one other part of that.
Okay, what?
When after MVP left, right?
Right.
Spud said to Dixie something like, that's a nice old chap, or something to that effect.
Like, he seems like a really nice chap.
He seems like a really nice chap. It's like, oh. Dixie's reaction was tremendous, but it's just,
she's like, you idiot.
Spud is taking a liking to MVP. It's tremendous. Yes, Spud is amazing.
Spud is awesome. Anyway, we cut to the ring where we have Angle taking on Magnus in a non-title match. The win goes to Angle after Ethan Carter III interferes and costs Angle the match when he's got Magnus in the ankle lock ready to tap. Then Angle, you know, Ethan Bertis, blah, 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 if I could talk. Ethan then proceeds to beat Angle down with, you know, repeated chair shots, especially to his leg. The referee then throws up the X sign to officially end the match, and Angle is carted off on a stretcher.
Yeah, JB mentioned as the beating was happening that Kurt Angle was having issues with his knee. He mentioned it all over media appearances. Where his knee was hurting him, and while Ethan Carter III took advantage of that, and really did a number on his left knee.
Yeah, he did. So Well, what's next for Kurt Angle? I guess we'll have to see. And
I would say payback.
I would say payback, and will Ethan Carter III be forced to answer for his sins? We'll have to see.
Mm-hmm.
After this, we get a nice Chris Sabin Velvet Sky recap, and then we're back in the special room with Chris Sabin. We find out this is the room where Velvet and Chris had their first kiss a couple years ago.
Aww.
I love it.
That was not scripted, folks.
No, it was totally not scripted. Now something special is going to happen, or even more special than their first kiss, and we see Saban flipping a ring box. So,
she was all flustered and excited.
Well, not yet. But then we see Velvet arrive. She's really confused about the camera. She doesn't quite know what's going on. And Saban, you know, it's like, it's fine, it's cool, it's totally cool, you're good, you're totally good.
Mm-hmm.
Saban then, you know, we come back from break and Saban says that, you know, when he broke up with her, or when she broke up with him, she broke his heart. It was the worst moment of his life. But he says that a veil was lifted and for the first time forever, he's been able to see clearly. And then he says that he has something to ask her and gets down on one knee. He holds out the ring box and Velvet starts to cry. She gets all excited. It's the moment. She's getting engaged and he encourages her to open the ring box. And when she does, well, do we have the prices right? No, he's skewed.
Yeah.
The box is empty. Saban then, right? It's like, you jerk. Saban then proceeds to get up and, you know, he says he's got her something to ask her. He tells her he wants to ask her to get out of his life every day for however many years they were together. It was, how's Velvet? Where's Velvet? You know, everything was always about Velvet Sky. It was never about him. And, well, he wants to prove who the real star in the relationship is. And basically, Chris Sabin challenges Velvet Sky to a match next week on Impact to prove who the better wrestler is, if she even shows up.
And if she doesn't show up, then, well, she's a coward.
Yep, and, you know, Sabin then says they're not done until he says they're done. And then he says, well, they're done.
It's over. It's all over. Good. That was nice, dramatic television.
That was really nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really tremendously nicely done.
Saban is awesome at being a jerk.
Yeah, he really kind of is.
That's basically what I can say about that. Saban is an awesome jerk.
He really is. So, after this, we cut back to the ring where we have Samoa Joe taking on Bobby Roode.
Roode! And we didn't mention this last week, and I want to get Lindsay's thoughts on air. He's changed jackets.
He has changed jackets.
Do you like
but
this?
But, you know what? We forgot something.
Alright, well, we'll get back to it. Do you like the jacket?
It's okay.
Okay. What did we forget?
We forgot Joe basically saying he was going to mess a bitch up.
Oh, yeah. Kerr was on the stretcher. Yeah, he was going to rage war and, you know, by God, you will all pay.
Yeah, Joe was on a rampage. And then, of course, they were talking to EY about Joseph Park and Abyss. And, you know, basically EY said that, you know, he showed Joseph Park who he really is and that, well, now he sees what everybody else sees and the fact that Joseph Park is Abyss, that Abyss only responds to crazy, so that's what EY gave him. As far as where EY goes from here or what's going to happen, he doesn't know. So it doesn't seem like this is over.
No, it doesn't. But yeah, that's a nice follow-up by EY. He's unleashed a monster into TNA. And, well, that's going to get interesting really, really, really quickly because no one can control the monster Abyss.
Nope. But going back to the Samoa Joe versus Bobby Roode match, very well done.
Fine match. Could have used some more time, but they were hitting each other hard, as you could see at one point. The Joe's chest was really, 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 really red.
Oh, yeah. You
could see a handprint on Joe's chest from Bobby Roode. And if Bobby Roode wasn't tanned out, probably see a little bit more on him as well.
Oh, yeah. They were going full on with this. There was no holding back. So, they had fun.
They had fun. They were chopping the crap out of each other.
They really were. It's like, ow. Mm-hmm. But in the end, Joe picks up the victory.
Yeah, they hit the muscle buster and then the rear naked choke for the W. So it is official. Samoa Joe Magnus 1-on-1 for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship at Lockdown.
Yes. And finally, in your, I guess, main event segment of the evening, we have Dixie Carter and MVP come out to the ring. Basically, you know, she tells them, we have a lot to talk about. You know, Dixie praises Magnus, and she says that, you know, she will lead TNA to success. You know, she says she's dealt with good investors and good partners, and she's dealt with bad investors and bad partners. Obviously a shot at somebody.
Mm-hmm. Brother. Chosen one.
Yeah, but basically MVP isn't buying into Dixie's, you know, vision, and, well, he had this to say.
Yes, he does.
Well, amen to that, huh?
But I'll say this too. Our company, no, not just our company, our nation, my great nation, and your little nation, people, your little nation, Spud, your little nation too, and all the little nations around the world watching tonight, we should all try to emulate him in his greatness. Right? Okay, so no, listen, people, listen up. I cannot hear myself talk. You're all wondering, I'm sure, where are we going from here, right? Where are we going from here? And the answer is quite simple to me, that if each and every one of you continues to follow my lead, if all of the men and women in the back continue to follow my lead, then we're all going to be very, very, very successful.
Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Now listen, in my 11 years here, everybody knows that I've dealt with all kinds of investors and partners. Some have been good, others not so good. Okay? And I'm really hoping you and I are going to make every single one of them never forget us.
I'm absolutely certain of that.
So we probably should talk about a few changes that we need to make too, right?
I agree. We should talk about changes. But
so
let me do that. May I talk about the changes?
Partner, go ahead.
Thank you. Dixie, in meeting you and talking to you and learning about you and all of the things you have accomplished, I've discovered that you and I agree on so many things. Okay, I'm lying. We only agree on one thing, and that's that we agree to disagree. Dixie, you don't know a headlock from a padlock. It would seem that your mismanagement has almost single-handedly brought this organization to its knees. You have created a playing field that only you and your minions can play on. Well, guess what? My name's MVP. And if you think I came here to be a butler at a Paula Deen party, you are sadly mistaken. As a matter of fact, Dixie, your reign of terror is over. I'm saying it's over, Dixie. It's over. If you think I came here to be a passive, hands-off investor, you're wrong. I intend to be very, very hands-on. Changes will take effect very soon, Dixie. The party is over.
Wow. A blockbuster, a bombshell from MVP. Doesn't sound like he wants to be Dixie Carter's business partner at all. Certainly not about sharing a vision. MVP, I think he wants it all, JB. Is that Dixie the part?
And we'll cut off there. The best part of that segment is, after that, in the last couple seconds when they were just talking, you see Rockstar Spud just wagging his little finger at MVP. No, 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 you don't do that to my Dixie. You don't do that to Madam Dixie. No, no, no.
This was really well done. This was absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Very enjoyable. Once again, you see that Dixie and MVP are about to go to war, and, well, what changes are going to be made? And Dixie definitely doesn't have the say that she used to.
No, no, she doesn't. But it's clear, change is in the air.
Now, whether it's good change or it's bad change, we'll have to see, because, well, as we, the United States, have learned, change is not always for the better.
No, 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 change is not always for the better. Change for America, anyway.
So, what did you think of tonight's show?
Well, it was a solid show, dragged a little, but it was a solid show.
Yeah, I would agree. It's pretty well done. Not too bad.
Not too bad. It dragged, but, we got introduced to MVP, which is what the show was basically built around, and we have it confirmed that Samoa Joe is the number one contender.
Yes, and they did some interesting things as far as pushing the storylines, and they've created some...
Plus Joseph Park. We now know him.
Right. That's mainly what I'm talking about. You know, they did a nice job with the reveal on that, and where do they go from there? That's what I'm curious about. So, well, we'll have to see.
There's some intriguing things on the way for TNA.
Yes. So, on that note, we're going to take our second and final break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to have the marathon version of Tweet of the Week, where Rock is going to read all 40-something tweets.
I think it was 45 or 46 tweets, and then I got banned by Lindsay from Favorite Day Anymore.
You're lucky I banned you, because if I hadn't, you'd be up to over 50 by now.
Oh, I saw a bunch that I wanted to grab, and I was like, I can't. I've been banned. I can't do it. So... we're going to roast the Super Bowl when we come back. As it is, You Pick the Music Thursday right here on the Rack.
That's right. When we also come back, we've got a discussion where we're going to be talking all about the Shield split. And, of course, our question of the night, which is, who is the next female that you want to see go into the WWE Hall of Fame? So we'll be back with all of that right after the break, right here on the Rack on WildTalkRadio.com.
In all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNAsylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
after 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... and the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. And now we're just going to go right into Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more, it cannot wait, I'm sure.
I feel like we should have come into the NFL Monday Night Football music. Because, well, in case you didn't know or don't live in the United States or don't follow American football, this weekend, or I should say this past weekend, was the Super Bowl, I should say. I call it the Super Bowl because, well, usually everybody ends up in a stupor whether you win or lose, depending on how drunk you get. And you had the Denver Broncos taking on the Seattle Seahawks. So now, Rock and I present the roast of the Super Bowl. And I'm going to go first because I have way less than you.
There you go.
There we go.
There's your music.
There's the music. So, starting it out, the Iron Sheik. Seattle Seahawks play like Seattle Sheikhawks. Hashtag Super Bowl. Zeb Coulter, I take back my earlier statement about the WWE at Raw roster beating the at Broncos. I believe the WWE writing team would beat them. Drew McIntyre, I'm no football expert, but using what I've learned wrestling 12 years, Denver is due one hell of a babyface comeback after all this heat.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho, trust me, I know what it's like to suffer an embarrassing loss in MetLife Stadium. Zeb Coulter, if Peyton Manning were illegal, it would be easy to keep him out. Just paint the border like an end zone. He can't cross a goal line. Some guy named Mark Bonanni. I hope I said your name right. I'm sorry if I didn't. Jimmy Hoffa was the last person to be buried this deep at the Meadowlands. Dan O'Brien. In case you didn't know, there was a contest going on from Esurance. Or if you tweeted out Esurance save 30, you could win a bunch of money. So anyway, Daniel Bryan, hashtag Esurance save 30. Hey, thought I'd give it a try. Hey, why not me? Hashtag Russell Wilson. Adam Copeland. Somebody tweeted him, damn it, bro, get your hair back. And he replied, do you know where it is? I've been looking for it. Last I heard, it was seen with the Mayans. Adam Copeland again. Well, I am, talking about a Canadian, so it's appropriate. you know, somebody tweets him and says, you know, I can't believe you and Christian had a baby. Insane. And he replies, I know, right? He barely even had a belly. And then, you know, somebody goes, thanks for pulling a Beyonce. And Edge replies, because I married Jay-Z. But we kept it quiet. Damn tabloids.
That was good.
And those are my tweets of the week. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Rock's Epic Marathon 45 Tweets of the Week.
I'll start music back up a little bit. Alright. Dolph Ziggler. Oh my god, yeah, I'm super into football! Says a girl that's not into football. In parentheses, or a second date. Hashtag Super Bowl. ProWrestling.net goes, and after one, it's Mariners 5, Rocky 0. Chris Johnson goes, 5-0, what is this, a Grey Cup? ProWrestling.net, it's nice to see that Doritos has embraced the fact that they are a stoner food. Frank Caliendo, I hope Joe Namath's fur coat gets its own sitcom. Scott Van Pelt, not the fake SVP, goes, cow porn? Cow porn. Fake Tim Tebow, 666 equals Satan. 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals 18. Peyton Manning equals number 18. Coincidence? I think not. Jeffrey Ross. Joe Namath's coat just bit my nephew. Hashtag Super Bowl. ESPN haters unite. As of right now, per ESPN sources, Peyton Manning's legacy is in shambles. He stinks. Hashtag Super Bowl. ProWrestling.net. You're a cheater. Number 60. A dirty, rotty, filthy, stinking cheater. The fake ESPN. Broncos look like they're watching the girl they're in love with dance with another guy at the prom. Fake Tim Tebow. Even Andy Reid thinks that was a dumb challenge. Not Bill Walton. That Ellen Beach spot is the worst commercial in the history of Western civilization. ProWrestling.net. After review, we have no effed idea why John Fox issued that challenge. He's clearly a moron in this case. After two. It's Mariners 8, Rocky 0. Dolph Ziggler, this is our years, says the furries. Hashtag Super Bowl, hashtag Bud Light at the Ellen Show. Not Bill Walton, from Omaha to Oh My God. ProWrestling.net, that was really nice. Payne just paid tribute to his younger brother. Sarah Baker, Manning is playing like Manning's play in that stadium, I guess. Not Bill Walton, Denver needs a stadium power outage right about now. Is Beyonce around? Tim, fake Tim Tebow, at the Broncos. Miss me? The fake ESPN goes, that's the closest Tim Tebow has ever been to a vagina. Fake Tim Tebow, when I was delivering that baby in my commercial, I saw that woman's vagina, and I've had nightmares ever since. That was a nice back one there. ProWrestling.net. The Broncos guard just paid tribute to CM Punk with a big kick. Bulldog and a high knee coming up next. Kate Nolan. Looks like Payne took all of that advice Eli gave him. He really, really did. Things Cole says. Vintage Manning. Well, it was in that stadium. Vintage Manning. Tom Brady's ego. Payne Manning is the greatest of all time. And it's gone. Fake Tim Tebow. Peyton Manning takes off his helmet on the sidelines, only to reveal it has been his brother Eli the whole time. Not Bill Walton. Why is everyone so shocked by the poor performance of Peyton? This is a typical to the play of a Manning. Eli Manning. ProWrestling.net. It's really sweet that Peyton let Cooper play for him in the first half. So sweet of him. Brian Alvarez goes, is Denver allowed to submit? Hashtag Cannonball. Hashtag entertaining. Nimrod, or BJ Rated R, whatever you want to call him, does anyone know the Heimlich maneuver? If so, the Broncos need it right about now. J.D. Harmeyer, cancel the rest of the game for more Seinfeld, please. Thank you. Hashtag Super Bowl. We did not get to see the Jewish member of the Seinfeld cast, Elaine Benes, because, you know, she's the Jewish one in the whole bunch, according to Subway.
She's busy.
Subway thinks she's Jewish. I don't know how. And then he thought, what's her name? Courtney Cox Monica was the slut, and it sort of was the
opposite way, kind of. Anyway, Scott Stanford, we all remember him. The residents of Omaha have just requested that Payne please no longer say their city's name in vain. Brian Alvarez thought Chris Cross was coming out next week with all that jumping. ProWrestling.net. The Red Hot Chili Peppers pay tribute to Peyton Manning's first half performance by playing Give It Away Now. Scott Hall. Rumor control. WWE creative staff spotted at MetLife Stadium. Hashtag rewrite. Not Bill Walton. Did that dude just did this? Peyton Manning. Stone Cold Steve Austin. I don't think even I could have caught Percy Harvin on that kick return. And I'm fast. Right, Steve. Right. Sure you are, Steve. Sure you are. Not Bill Walton. I'm not, at least Denver isn't giving Richard Sherman a chance to prove he is the best corner in the game. This is true. He never threw his way. Pat Gallen, I'm not saying Aaron Andrews' mic looks like a penis, but I'm not saying it looks like one either. The fake ESPN, one Denver Broncos player can change a flat tire by himself. Unless it's a blowout, then the whole team shows up. Ouch. Betty freaking White. Do the Broncos know that this is being televised? Hashtag Super Bowl. Seth Maids. Triple H is at a Super Bowl party right now telling someone that he just doesn't think Seattle has it. Ouch. Vincent Verheil. Old lady at the party says she misses basketball short shorts because you could see what players really look like. Ouch. Andrew Goldstein. Turns out Omaha was just paying Manning code for shitting the bed. Hashtag Super Bowl. And finally, this is not Bill Walton. This is the biggest travesty involving a Bronco since 1994 when O.J. Simpson was in the passenger seat.
Oh. Ouch. Harsh.
And that was the Super Bowl roast right here on the rack.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
And it was like, that's how bad the first half was. I just sat on Twitter for a while. Favorite.
Literally, that's all he did. We were sitting here talking online, and it's like we're both watching the Super Bowl. It's like, oh, this is great. This is going to be a great game. And then it's like Seattle took a commanding lead, and they just never looked back. It's like, all right, what's going on Twitter and Tumblr now? Because, like, after the first half, it's like, yeah, and I'm bored. So don't watch the Super Bowl. It was awful. Horrible.
We had fun commenting about the game and talking about the game. It was fun.
We did.
Yeah. Anyway, that was Tweet of the Week.
So now we're going to get into a discussion, and we actually had a hard time coming up with a discussion for this week, at least as far as this one is concerned. Because it's something we didn't know if we wanted to have it this week or next week.
Yeah, it was kind of difficult because you just never know. And what we're going to basically talk about is the Shield.
That's right. As we've been seeing over the last couple months, the tension in the Shield has been building. It was prevalent Monday night, especially between Dean and Roman. You have Seth kind of holding everything together, or trying to anyway. And well, but the tensions are rising, and especially with the Wyatt family, you know, we know Bray is going to find those cracks and widen them, as it were. So could we see the Wyatt family used as the catalyst for the Shield split?
I think we are. I think the Wyatt family are going to be that one catalyst that really, really sticks it to the Shield. And you can see it started with that guy who quit the company, started, you know, doing that. And now the Wyatt family are taking over. And with a man like Bray Wyatt, and the way he just has a way with his words, and how he can get inside some people's heads and, you know, that sort of thing. They're going to be a real big catalyst to it, and especially when it comes to the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view when the two sides meet.
Absolutely. And it's something of, can the, you know, the Shield are saying they will come out strong, they will come out confident, but I'm kind of wondering if that's the case, especially given of, you know, what kind of happens on SmackDown and what happened on Raw, where you're especially seeing issues between Dean and Roman, and you and I kind of when we came up with this, it was, well, how would they even do the split? Would Seth and Roman stay together and Dean would go off as, on his own? Would all three go off together on their own? I mean, would Seth and Dean stay together and Roman leaves? I mean, it's just, it's...
There are endless possibilities.
Oh, absolutely. And it's something of... You really don't even know where to go with it first, and you have to wonder also when it's going to happen.
Right, and that's sort of the big question mark, when exactly it's going to happen. One comment from someone named Philandering goes, I'm a S.H.I.E.L.D. expert, don't you know? Bray is going to wreck the S.H.I.E.L.D. so hard. Ha ha ha. I love it.
Well, you know, he very well could. There's nothing saying he couldn't.
Oh, he totally could. But it's going back to where it begins. Where it really begins. And it's sort of like, does it happen at Chamber? And do we get something where we're going to see the S.H.I.E.L.D. battle at WrestleMania? Like, to me, as I mentioned to Lindsay, a couple scenarios, we'll mention them here. The odd man out, it seems, is the guy who's basically in the middle, and then Seth Rollins. Because you can see the tension is building between Roman and Dean. That's sort of where the tension lies. Seth really has no problem with Dean, or has no real problem with Roman. God, so many guys with R's, it's hard to keep track.
Wrong family.
Wonder why I have them on the brain. I don't know why. Someone might just drill into my head. I don't know.
No, that never happens.
No, I'm just not looking at a picture of them right now. Anyway.
It's my fault you haven't changed your Skype picture.
I'm looking at your Skype picture? Oh, yeah, that's right. Anyway. Moving on. But it's something where it's like, Rollins is in the middle, and that sort of led to me one scenario for WrestleMania. It's like, okay, you got these two hard-headed guys. Maybe you don't break up the S.H.I.E.L.D. just yet, but you want to see, you know, they're tired of seeing who the better man. They want to know which one is the leader of the S.H.I.E.L.D. Is it Dean Ambrose? Is it Roman Reigns? So you just have them collide at WrestleMania, and you put Rollins as the special referee.
I don't see them fighting over the leadership because I don't think there's going to be clear leader defined. I think it's something of, you know, Dean and Roman have to put it behind them. I can see that. To preserve the S.H.I.E.L.D., Dean and Roman have a match to see who's better. I can see that. I don't know about Seth as a special guest referee.
Okay, but what do you do with Rollins?
You know, honestly, I think it's something you either put Rollins on commentary or you have him on the outside or you do something with him. But I just don't see him as a special guest referee.
But if you have him on the outside, whose corner is he in? Like, that's the thing.
He's Switzerland. He's neutral.
But you can't. It's hard to have someone in. It all depends when you do it. If it's at Extreme Rules, then yes, I could see him do commentary. But it's like, if you do it at WrestleMania, it's sort of like, he's got to be involved, and you can't give a guy who's been busting his ass all year and not put him on that show, can you?
No, I say he goes on the show. I mean, it's something of, you have Seth on the outside, and in the end, he could screw both Dean and Roman. And he breaks off on his own, completely. And that leaves Dean and Roman to figure out what the hell's going on. And then that could lead to a three-way between them at Extreme Rules.
See, a three-way would be interesting, but it's another scenario where they all three of them battle against each other and find out who the better man is, and I can see that happening. I don't know if that's... I don't know if that's the right way to do it.
See, the thing is, it's like, I don't think there really is a right way to do it.
Because it's interesting in the fact that we're used to seeing tag teams break up.
Right.
When it sort of with stables over the years, they sort of just disband. There's no real breakup. The Nexus really never broke up. They just all sort of floundered and went their own way.
Except for Husky Harris, who got punched in the head. Poor Husky.
I think he's happy he got punted in the head. Just pointing that one out.
Well, I don't think he's happy that he got punted in the head, but I'm pretty sure he's happier now than he was then.
That's what I mean. I think he would take being punted in the head again if it led him to where he's at right now. Just pointing that one out. Comment goes, the corner he's in is in his room crying over mom and dad fighting again. That's where he's placed. But it's like, you look at the Nexus, they didn't break up, they just sort of disbanded. What was Wade Barrett's other group? The Core. They sort of just disbanded as well. Evolution sort of, you know, disbanded. They broke up with Batista, but the rest of the group just sort of went their own sort of ways at times. DX, the same sort of thing. But now you got three individuals, and you gotta put them in a position where you gotta do something. You gotta break them apart. Because do you keep Dean and Seth together? I don't know if you keep keep Seth and Roman together, because the idea is to make Roman a big star. And that's the tricky thing, is they have plans for Roman Reigns. And it's just a matter of time when they execute those plans.
It might be something of either Dean's going to lose his marbles once and for all. Because as we've seen, Dean has been getting crazier and crazier and crazier over
Does he have any marbles to lose anyhow?
Yeah, he kind of does. Because originally when we saw Dean Ambrose, he was minorly eccentric, and now he's just full-blown crazy. So it's something of Dean has progressed over the year the Shield has been together, but we also see Roman getting an ego, he's getting cocky, and it's something of Roman's got the record. He's got the fact that, you know, people are chanting his name. I'm trying to think of what else he has in comparison to, like, say, Dean's U.S. title reign.
Right.
In comparison to other things that the Shield members have done. And so it might be something of either they cut Roman, and it's something of Dean and Seth go off and kind of doing their own thing, and they kick Roman out when Roman becomes a liability. Because that's the thing. That's what I'm kind of honestly expecting, is whoever becomes the biggest liability initially for the group is the one that gets punted out. And then the other two stay together, or the other two go their own separate ways and agree to go their own separate ways. But, I think the match that you want to make is Dean versus Roman.
Right, and you got to get there somehow. Apparently Seth Rollins is the girl dating the two girls, rather, two guys, and good tell a great story on the outside, conflicted English, sir, English.
I think what he means is that, you know, to tell a good story, you have Seth on the outside, and he shows that conflict, kind of almost like Hunter Taker and Shawn in The Cell.
Right, and what was Shawn in that?
He was the special guest referee, and you could do that with Seth. I don't think that would add anything. I don't think that would do anything. I can see Seth more on the outside, where it's something of, because they question his neutrality, they question his ability to remain impartial during the match. And can Seth Rollins call it right down the middle, or is he going to side with Dean or Roman?
That's the thing. That's why I would have him be the referee. He chooses the side. He could just, you know, he could be the referee and at one point just say, screw it. Throws his hands up, walks out, throws off the shirt, walks out, another referee has to come back and finish it, where it's like, he doesn't want to choose, and basically, I see Seth being put in a position where he's going to eventually have to choose a side between the two. And like you mentioned, he's Switzerland. He doesn't want to choose those sides.
Right.
And that's sort of how I'm seeing it at this point. I don't think he's going to want to choose a side. It's a really hard scenario to look at.
Oh, I agree 100%. It's kind of one of the things that when you sit here and you think about the Shield splitting, it's really difficult to come up with, because you want to do it properly, you want to do it right, and you want to make sure that when you break all three of them out of the Shield, that they're all going to land on solid enough footing that they will all be able to be successful. Because the thing is they've got plans for Roman. They're going to move on with Roman. You know, there's no question, but it's Seth and Dean are the two to worry about. You know, and no offense to Seth, but especially Seth.
Yeah, especially Rollins, because Dean is established. You can use him as a heel in any sort of fashion. It's Rollins who you have to worry about at times.
Because, you know, out of the three members of the Shield that they've really built, you know, they haven't done much with Rollins. He's been a tag team champion, but he was a tag team champion with Roman. They gave the solo title to Dean, and they've, like, you know, like you said, they established Dean as a good heel, and when he comes out of the Shield, he will be a heel.
Yeah, he will be. But I like how they're doing things with Rollins at the moment, where they're sort of giving him a personality. He's sort of stepping up. He seems to be a voice of reason, and that's sort of a nice role to have, especially in a group. And he's the guy who would, like, I know Rollins can go in a ring and he could be a good solo star, but to me, I think his best work would be as a tag team, and that's why he's really, really worked well with Roman. And all the praise, just break away from the question for a second, and just talk about the story that came out last week. Roman praises Dean and Seth a lot for his development. He soaks up every single thing they say on a weekly basis to him. He's learned a lot, and that's where a lot of the credit goes for his success, is to Rollins and Ambrose.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I mean, WWE made a smart call in putting Reigns with Rollins and Ambrose, because Rollins and Ambrose have so much experience. It's ridiculous. And to put a guy like Roman, who's fairly green, he hasn't been in the business very long at all, with these two guys who've been all over the world. They've had all kinds of matches. They've been in all sorts of situations. They've done pretty much a lot of things, especially Dean. Dean's done a lot of crazy shit in his time. Same with Seth. You know, it helps to put Roman with those two guys, because they can help guide him. They can help give him advice. And good on Roman for, you know, listening to them and accepting their advice. And good on them for offering it and trying to help him and trying to grow him, because I think it's something that they can all learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, you heard Dean say it in another interview where, you know, he thought he knew everything when he came into developmental, and then they proved him wrong. You know, it's like they put him on TV and he realized he didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Nope.
And that goes to show the difference between the indies and WWE right there, is it's something of you learn to wrestle specifically for the cameras, as opposed to just wrestling for the audience.
You gotta work the camera.
You gotta work the camera. Yes. But, and that's a completely different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of getting back on track, with Roman, he's still learning and he's still growing, and it's something of he's created a bond for life with these guys, and I think they're always going to be there for him, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, without question.
You know, Roman, I think, will always have their back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, without question. And that's sort of the thing. But going back to the original point, it's hard to determine where to go and what the right idea is. Is breaking them apart at Chamber the right move?
Maybe. I don't think Chamber is the right move. I think that's honestly too soon. For me, I would build the tension, and you either do it at Mania or you do it after Mania. And then that's a feud that goes into the summer, is the Shield. And that split.
Right.
And that could be one of your driving storylines in the summer. I wouldn't do it before Mania.
It now begs the question of, and this will, we can send out to people and they can maybe tweet us or Facebook us or Tumblr or email us at mediawalltalkradio.com or whatever other email address you have for us, because I have plenty.
Right.
If you use this, if you don't break up the Shield at Chamber, what do you do with the Shield at WrestleMania. I'm not overly sure, like, you could do Big E versus Dean, and Dean loses his title, and then maybe they look at Dean as weak link, and that sort of adds more tension. Or do you fight, you put him in a six-man grouping. But the hard part about the six-man grouping is who do you have to face, where it's a big deal. Last year they faced,
Kane and Orton.
Was it Brian and Kane?
Yeah, because I don't think all three of them wrestled. I think it was only two.
Was it?
Yeah, because Brian and Kane wrestled. They had a tag match.
No. It was Orton and Sheamus.
That's right. Who the hell did Brian and Kane face then?
Ziggles and Big E.
That's right.
It was Orton and Sheamus. Was it 2-on-3? I think it was, because I don't think they had a partner.
No, I don't think they had a third.
But yeah, it was Orton and Sheamus versus the Shield.
You know, it's something of, you could put Dean in a solo match. You could have any member of the Shield face at this point Rowan and Harper of the Wyatt family, because they're feuding with the Wyatts right now. That's not going to be 100% done.
By the way, they did have a partner, as I looked it up, the Big Show.
Oops. Sorry, Show.
Oops. But yeah.
But yeah, anyway, getting back to the point, the Shield is feuding with the Wyatt family. That's not going to be completely done after Chamber. Uh-uh. So you could have the Shield face Rowan and Harper, seeing as Bray is more than likely getting Cena, unless that changes. And then you do Wyatt's versus the Shield again at Mania.
I don't think that's what I think. I think Bray and Cena is locked solid for WrestleMania.
Oh, I'm sure it is, but it's just, that's another possibility that you could go with if you had to.
Yeah, so I'm curious. And you're curious, email us, media at wildtalkradio, and get a hold of us and let us know what you think, and we'll respond if you send us an email. Of course, that's what we do.
Yes, consider this a challenge.
Oh, Lindsay's throwing down the challenge.
Well, you know, last time we challenged somebody, we actually did get an email.
We did. Challenge anyone. media@wildtalkradio.com.
So, moving on.
To the question of the night,
which is as follows. What female would you like to see go into the WWE Hall of Fame? As we noted at the beginning of the show, there are not a lot of women in the Hall of Fame, and there are a lot that do deserve to go in.
And we have a few nominations, and we'll throw them out there, and then we'll have our discussion. The likes of Chyna, Medusa, Miss Elizabeth, Lita, and Michelle McCool.
Whoever threw Michelle McCool out? No.
Those are the five names. I'll let you go first.
This is where I have to pull up the page of their superstars. Medusa I can see. Mm-hmm. I mean, but at the same time, it's something of, she's bad-mouthed the company. She's kind of caused some embarrassment for the company lately. So I don't know if I can see her going in. Mm-hmm. I would love to see somebody like Luna Vachon go in.
Okay.
I think she definitely deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
Lita as well. You know, all jokes aside, Lita deserves to go in based on her, what she did in her tenure in the company, what she did outside the company.
Right.
And, you know, I would make a case for Victoria as well.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria is an important part of wrestling history. She is a part, again, of the Golden Era. She was one of the females. She was the other female in the main event of Raw.
Yeah, she was.
And, you know, maybe not right now, but in a couple of years, I would say Mickie James, too.
Mickie James at some point deserves to be in it. I see Miss Elizabeth has her standing, and I think we've been over it before, and everyone's talked about how she deserves to be in the Hall of Fame because she was one of the first ladies to transcend from... transcend the business rather from just pro wrestling to being the valet, a really strong valet. But it's tough when you really think about the Hall of Fame and what people do during the year. It's when you put someone in and when you don't. If this whole spawned off of the idea of Paul Bearer's going into the Hall of Fame this year. Supposedly, that's the rumor everyone's talking about. And to me, it's like, okay, if he's going in, the name Miss Elizabeth shouldn't be going in because you're holding a Hall of Fame, which would now feature two people who are no longer with us. And that's the awkward moment sometimes where it's like, you look at all the people who have left us, and you want to honor them in a certain fashion, but it's hard to do that with multiple people who have passed. You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree. I 100% agree. But I still think two names out of the group wouldn't be that much of a downer.
It's not that it's downer. It's just like it's a downer, but it's also like. You realize you're honoring them, but they're not around to get this honor, and it just seems awkward and weird. And maybe that's just my thoughts on it. Kane Kidd throws out Beth Phoenix. It would be a long time from now, and she would need one more run to be considered a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
For the simple question of who's next, Goldberg, I would say Lita. Trish mentioned that to us last year, that Lita should go in. I kind of believe that she's most well-deserving to go in next, because she was the next transcender alongside Trish. They broke in together. And it's like, you look at how... And not only, like, if you look at Lita and what she's done for the business, and how, like, she's one of the only few females that over the span of her career actually evolved into a different character over and over again. She kept reinventing herself.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, to me, she should be next. The problem is, I don't know if she fits this class, because it seems like to me they're doing an early 90s class. And I don't think she fits into that role. But to me, she should be the next female involved. A name that's been thrown around there is Cyndi Lauper possibly going in.
Cyndi Lauper would be an interesting one, especially given her history with the WWE and with WrestleMania.
She would be the big celebrity going in this year, and I would have no problem with that if she's going in the celebrity wing. That sort of fits for her.
Absolutely.
But to
me, what about somebody like Missy Hyatt?
I'm always on the fence about it. I'm on the fence. I don't know. For what she did for the business, sure, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm not.
Well, Sonya went in. Do we see Sable going in?
I could definitely see Sable going in. Because, again, she was with Sable she was with Sonny in that era. So I could see her going in.
Especially to make Brock happy.
Yeah. Especially. But it's not only to make Brock happy. If you really think about it, she evolved. She opened the door for Trish Stratus and Lita and stuff. Because she turned it from being valets and back into women's wrestling. Whether she was, how good she was or whatnot. She was innovative and she was impressive for her era. She put female wrestling back on the map. Especially when she got in there with the guys. Long before Chyna got in there with the guys, Sable was getting in there with Mark Marrow. So, yeah.
Now there's your name you bring up that could bring some controversy. Does Chyna go in?
At some point, she should.
Yeah. I kind of agree with that. I think she deserves her place. Despite everything that has happened since she left WWE, her contribution is pretty sound. I mean, she broke down a lot of barriers for girls in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And she is, again, one of those other transcenders where she went from being a valet, or in this case a heavy, to being a champion, to being a wrestler.
Right.
And she, again, she continually evolved during the span she was in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I kind of think Chyna deserves her place in the Hall of Fame. Does she get it this year? I don't think so.
But at some point, I think she deserves to go in.
I agree with that. You know, I completely agree with that. It's the question of when. Now, here's two other names from that era. Jacqueline and Ivory.
Ivory, no. That's a flat out no. Jacqueline, I'm on the fence about her. I would lean towards no. But again, I could be persuaded to say yes, but I would say no. Kankins brings up Kelly Squared.
No.
No, Kelly will not be in the Hall of Fame. But if they want to, you know, for our best striptease ever, maybe. Where's that worst striptease ever? I don't know. Either way, Kelly's not going into the Hall of Fame. She only won the title once. She didn't accomplish enough to be considered. Just putting that one out. But Jacqueline, I'm on the fence. I would say I would lean towards no. She was great for what she was, but she, again, I don't know. She just, she never, like, she was a good technical wrestler, but never really accomplished much. That makes sense?
Yeah, I can see that.
She was always good in TNA, and she was good in WWE, but she never, she was always on the back burner.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about Kelly, and this kind of goes for all the modern divas, just basing, and when I say modern, I mean, you know, girls like Kelly, girls like Maria and
Maurice,
I say, goes in just because of her length of her title reign and her impact on the divas division.
I don't think so. I don't think she makes it.
You know, I don't really see, the only real Hall of Famers I see of the present divas are Natty and AJ right now, and possibly Trinity.
Not the Bella Twins?
I don't see the Bella Twins going in. If the Bella Twins go in, it's whatever at this stage. But, I don't, you know, as far as the Bella Twins are concerned, this is no offense to Nikki and Brie, and who knows, Brie could go on to have a fantastic career.
The reason the Bella Twins go in is because...
No. Assuming she's still with him at that point.
I know.
She got a long way to go.
She does have a long way to go.
But, you know, it's something of, it's, you look at the modern day divas, and it's just, they don't have the opportunities that girls like, or I should say women like, you know, Mae Young and Fabulous Moolah and Trish Stratus have had in the past. They don't get those opportunities.
And if you look at Trish's era, Trish's run was only 5-6 years. If you really look at it from start to finish. But when you look at Mae Young and the Fabulous Moolah, they've been around decades and decades. The longevity. The key for any diva right now is longevity. And accomplishing things with your longevity. If you're just around, hanging around, not doing much, you don't have to stand a chance. But if you're able to make an impression, make a mark, you'll be able to, you know, you'll end up someday in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's why I would say that in the future I can see AJ going in. I can see maybe Trinity, just given her her athletic ability, I would hope that they would push her.
If she has another 5 to 7 years of a nice run, yes.
But that's something of you have to wonder how many, you know, how many of the girls like Trinity and Cameron and you know, pretty much all the Total Divas, save for Natty, really, how long they want to stay around, and even Natty. Because if you think about Natty, she's been in the company, what, 7, 8 years at this point?
Yeah, and I don't think she's a Hall of Famer.
She needs one really big run, one really big storyline.
She needs a moment. She hasn't had that moment yet.
No, she needs the win the title at WrestleMania in your hometown kind of moment. That's what she needs. And then she needs to have a really long run with the Divas title. That's kind of what she needs.
At least. If not one more major moment.
But, you know, it's something of, are they going to give that to Natty at this stage? It doesn't feel like it.
Nope, it's the state of the Divas women's division, whatever you want to call it at this point.
But I mean, it's something of, I would love to see Natty go in, but I don't think Natty will go in. Just like it's like, I would love to see Beth Phoenix go in, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think so.
It's something of, again, the women in the modern era just don't get the same opportunities that the guys do, and they don't get the same opportunity that the women from 10, 15 years ago had. They don't get those anymore. I mean, you look at girls like Lita, and there's actually a gif of her laying on top of Matt Hardy, you know, insert Lita joke here, getting beat with a chair by Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
You know, she's taken dives off of cages.
Mm-hmm.
She's wrestled guys on television. She was in the main event of Monday Night Raw. You know, it's something of, you look at the span of Lita's career, and again, Lita's run was only, what, 5 to 7 years? That seems to be about the run limit for most of the girls.
About
5 to 7, and then they're...
And Lita suffered a major injury during her career, too.
Yes, she did, which she came back from.
Yeah, she successfully came back from. But again, key to Lita was she always evolved, and that's, if you're a female today... Evolution is key.
Yeah, and it's like you look at, you know, the Funkadactyls are trying to do it a little bit, and this is just looking at all the girls, but it's like, no offense to Oksana, but Oksana really hasn't changed since she dyed her hair black.
That was her big change.
You know, Alicia Fox hasn't really changed. Natty hasn't really changed. You know, the Bella Twins are kind of changing.
The Bellas have changed. They're more athletic now than they once were.
Yeah, but they're still,
They're not what they used to be, but they're starting to evolve a little bit more.
Yeah, but it's something, if you look at their Divas roster, and it's very, a lot of their girls are very one-dimensional, and they've been doing the same thing for years. And again, that's not necessarily their fault. It's that they don't get the opportunity to do that. And you think about it, and, you know, it's, you maybe get one Divas match on Raw if you're lucky, and, well, if you... You know, it's usually a singles match, so that takes it down even further.
Right.
And they're going to push whoever the champion is versus whoever they're lining up to be the next number one contender. And if that's not you, well, guess what? You get to sit on your butt in the back.
Pretty much.
Until it is you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think they're pushing. And that's the thing. I think if they created, like, more belts for the Divas, like the tag belts that the Bells want...
It could evolve them a little bit more.
It could evolve them a little bit more. It would add title runs for the girls. You know, it would give them something to do.
Yes, I agree.
But that's just me. This went in a weird direction. But yeah, so I think we can both kind of agree. I would like to see Lita go in. Will that happen?
At some point, hopefully, she's the next one. If not, it'll probably be Cyndi Lauper, which I'm all right with.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I think Cyndi Lauper definitely deserves it.
But the next wrestler should be Lita.
Yeah. I agree 100%. So on that note, I think we're going to wrap up for the evening.
Sounds like a plan to me.
So, do you have anything to rant about?
No, do you?
No, I'm good.
So we're at the plug now, don't I?
Yep.
Saturday night, midnight is. It's CB Radio. It's the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We're going to be talking about things that happened at the Olympics. We're going to be doing This Week in Black History. Why? Because why the hell not? It's CB Radio. It's the weird, the wacky, the unusual. You can tell those are the two things I have planned so far. Just point that one out. Sunday night. It is WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, with the entire gang. That's right. Omega Man Spuggin. This guy named Tim Steinberg? No, Tim Stein. Tim Stein returned to Wrestle Talk Radio to host the show once again. It's about time. 10 p.m. Eastern. Wrestle Talk Radio.
We missed you, Tim.
Yeah, she said it. I didn't. Monday night is the Raw post show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack, right here on WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com. Follow us on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, Facebook.com/WTRTheRack.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. On my website, under the Contact Us section, is a link to my website on Redbubble. Or if you like my artwork, if you want to buy my artwork, it is available for sale on Redbubble.com. Just click the link and it'll take you right to the store. If you just want to check out my artwork, you can go to Behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter handle. And most of it, if not all of it, is available on Behance, so please go check that out and enjoy it. Also, please listen to The Rack every Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, here on WildTalkRadio.com. Visit RackRadioShow.com, and of course, listen to all the other fine programming on the network.
Yes.
And last...
Yes, please do that.
Please do that, because we all work very hard. We don't get paid to do this. So, you know, we get paid by people listening. So please listen, tell your friends, let everybody know that we're out here. We would greatly appreciate it. Also, you can download us on iTunes and various other places.
You can get us on iTunes, you can get on Stitcher, you can listen to us live on TuneIn Radio. Just search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Simple and easy. And remember, this has been You Picked the Music Thursday, and the person who picked it was Philandering. She was the first one to respond. She sent in a playlist, and that's what we went with tonight.
Good playlist.
Good playlist. Nice music. We'll do it again some other time, and someone else or anyone can have a chance to pick the music you hear on the show.
Absolutely. And one more plug before we go. Also, please visit our sponsors. PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and of course, Memorabilia Lane, MemorLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!